Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Who is the real, true Jesus? Well, we have in the Bible the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And these carry the message of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the life of his ministry, tells about his birth, about his ministry, about his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. But who is the real Jesus? There are many false Jesuses out there in the world. Plus, there are probably thousands of false impressions or thoughts or, how shall we say, mental conceptions of who the real Jesus is. Now, a lot of people think Jesus had long hair. But the Bible says for a man to have long hair, it's a shame. Jesus did not have long hair. Now, he came from the city of Nazareth. That does not mean that he took a Nazarite vow. He didn't have to, because he was the literal Son of God, as we saw. We saw how, as God, he had to divest himself of his glory and his divinity and retain just enough of the Spirit of God so that he would be the Son of God, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God from conception. He was the unique Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, and that is begotten in the manner that Jesus was. Now, we have covered through here the Gospel of John, showing about the true Jesus, who the real Jesus really was, and what his teachings are. We have also seen that he was God before he became a human being. And now we're going to see here in John, the 8th chapter, some very interesting things when Jesus was confronted by those and even many who professed to believe in him. And so let's see what happened. This helps us answer the question that if you're a true Christian, you don't have a religion, because true Christianity is not a religion. It is a way of life. Now, the Jews had their religion, which was the religion of Judaism. And you'd need the book written by Phil Neal that we send to you free, Judaism, a revelation of God or a religion of men. And we're going to see that the Jews, in their confrontations with Jesus, thought that, oh, we're the chosen people. So being that, obviously God isn't going to do anything to us. Obviously God accepts us as we are. But that's not true. Let's see what Jesus said. Let's come to John, the 8th chapter. Now we're going to go through and we're going to follow the flow of this. And it may take us several sessions to get through the entire 8th chapter, because there are many, many lessons that we're going to learn. Now, the first part of it is when Jesus was confronted with the Pharisees, and they brought a woman taken in adultery. And they said, Master, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses says that one such like that should be stoned. What do you say? Challenging you. So Jesus stooped down and he wrote it on the ground. And everyone has wondered from that account, what did he write? Well, what does the law of Moses tell us? The law of Moses tells us that if there is adultery, the man and the woman are brought to trial, and that both of them should be stoned to death. But here the Pharisees brought just the woman. And you have to ask the question, How did they entrap her? And I'm sure, I'm convinced, that what Jesus was writing in on the ground was, where is the man? And so then Jesus stood up and he said, the one without sin cast the first stone. So from the oldest to the younger, they all left. And Jesus was standing there, people all around, and here's this poor woman supposedly caught in adultery. Now maybe that was true, even if it was true. Where is the man? So after they all left, Jesus looked at her and said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, there are none, Lord. So he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Very interesting, isn't that? Because he told the woman, I knew you were sinning with adultery. But why did it turn out this way? Because even the Jews knew you had to have both. So this was not a matter of forgiveness. He told her, go and sin no more. He didn't say, I forgive your sins. That was a judgment because they were judging unrighteously to bring just the woman. If she's caught in the very act of adultery, why then didn't they also catch the man and bring both of them? So Jesus entrapped these religious leaders in their own bait to try and trick Jesus. So then he made the judgment. Neither do I condemn you, because you can't condemn without two witnesses, correct? But he knew that she had been doing it, so he said, go and sin no more. Now the Jews were all upset because he did this. They said that your testimony wasn't true, that his judgment with that was not true. So this sets up the whole 8th chapter. And the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John reveals who the true Jesus really is in a unique way. So let's pick it up here. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, because I know where I have come from and where I am going, but you do not know where I have come from and where I go. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. He didn't judge the woman. He said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. They were judging her, already guilty. See, but they didn't judge righteous judgment. Jesus said, yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father who sent me. And it is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. So in letting the woman go, that was a true testimony. And notice what they said. Verse 19. Where is your father? Because they knew. They knew about Mary. They knew about his birth. Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would also have known my Father. Now here they were, supposedly the ones who were keepers of the Word of God. And where was this taking place? Right in the temple of God, where God put his presence. Surely there would be good men there, wouldn't there? Surely these would be men seeking the truth, wouldn't they? We'll find out. This is quite a confrontation. Jesus spoke these words in the treasury while teaching in the temple, but no one arrested him because his time had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you shall seek me, but you shall die in your sin. Where I am going, you're not able to come. Now, they didn't quite understand this statement, see? And it is true, there are certain things that Jesus has said that are hard to understand. However, please remember this. It doesn't mean they're impossible to understand. Now, if we put all the scriptures together, we will be able to understand them. And that's why we have church at home. That's why we go through and cover the Bible the way that we do. That's why we have all of the articles you can download, the booklet you can receive free. And be sure and get the one, A Harmony of the Gospels in Modern English, The Life of Jesus Christ, because that takes the four Gospels and lays them out in parallel and chronological order through the whole 3.5-year ministry of Jesus Christ. And you will find that very enlightening and very different from what the conventional Christianity of this world teaches. So you also need that book, and we send these books to you at no cost. Now, others have paid for them, so you can receive them. And when you receive them, and they're of value to you, what do you expect that God requires of you? To give back in return so someone else can receive what you receive. That's how God works. Now let's continue here. Verse 22, therefore the Jews said, will he kill himself? Is this why he says, where I'm going, you're not able to come? Now notice Jesus' answer. Notice he doesn't answer them directly, but he conveys the truth to them of who they are and what they are. And this is true of all human beings. We need to know the true nature of men. We need to understand the true depravity and wickedness of the human mind. A lot of people think, well, I'm not that wicked. What thoughts do you harbor that no one else knows? If they're evil, that's what you are. You are what your worst thoughts are, not what your best thoughts are. So that's why you need God's way, the true Jesus, and understanding how you can be converted and your mind can be changed. Now let's see how he answered these Jews. Verse 23, you are from beneath, I am from above. Where did Jesus come from? From heaven to the earth. Where did they come from? From the earth. Jesus said, you are of this world. Now that means of this age, of the age of mankind. Now who is the God of this world or this age? Satan, the devil. Now we're going to see how this comes into play a little later on. You are of this world. I am not of this world. And that's what it has to be with true Christians. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. And the reason we're not of the world is because we live the way of God the Father and Jesus Christ, as shown in the Bible, Old and New Testament combined. That makes you not of this world, especially if you have the Spirit of God. You belong to God, no one in this world. Satan wants to corral everyone and dictate everything to them. He wants total control over your life, over your thoughts, everything that you do, and that's coming in the mark of the beast. Now, Satan is the god of this world or this age. Jesus said, I am not of this world. Now, continuing. That is why I said to you that you shall die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. Now, I am. Now, we'll cover all the scriptures together in a row when we're done with the 8th chapter here. But in the Faithful Version, the Holy Bible in its original order, that has been correctly translated because there are two words in the Greek which means I am. The first one is ego. The second one is eimi. So in the Greek, it really means I am, meaning it is doubled so that the emphasis is multiplied. And we will see that the very name that God revealed to Moses when Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" You shall say, "I am have sent you. I am that I am." So this is telling us that Jesus is indeed God in the flesh. I am. Now that sort of took them back because they understood what that phrase meant. They understood what it means back there in Exodus, the 3rd chapter. Then they said to him, "Who are you?" Claiming the name of God. Of course you would ask, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "The one that I said to you from the beginning." He told them. They had all the prophecies. They had the word of God. But another thing they had was their religion. Because their religion caused them to study the traditions of the rabbis rather than really read and study and know the word of God. Because Jesus said, "Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me." They didn't believe Moses, though they claimed his name. Judaism does the same thing today. But that is not the law of Moses or the word of God. It is the religion of men. So they didn't understand this. Now we're going to see. Here's another principle that is true. If you don't obey what you know is true, you will be blinded and you won't understand. That's what happened to these Jews here. Notice what Jesus said. Verse 26, "I have many things to say and judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and what I heard from him, these things I speak to the world, the gospel of the coming kingdom of God." And what was the first thing that Jesus said when he came into Galilee after John was put into prison? He said, "Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Because Jesus was the personal representative of the kingdom of God and was the coming king. Verse 27, "But they did not know that he was speaking to them of the Father." Now, the reason they didn't know that he was speaking to them of the Father was because in not believing Jesus, as we will see, they could not believe that he was from the Father. Just like a lot of people today that we've read in some of the accounts about atheistic Christianity. They don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. But Jesus clearly, in the Word of God, which is the truth of God, the message of God, the gospel of God, to let everyone know who the true Jesus really is, he said, "I am." Now we're going to see that again here in just a minute. Verse 28, "Then Jesus said to them, 'When you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you yourselves shall know that I am God manifested in the flesh, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, these things I speak.'" So we have, as I heard from the Father, as the Father taught me, and we saw how Jesus was taught as an infant. He was awakened every morning by God the Father, and God the Father communicated to him and taught him. So all of those things combined, that's how Jesus was educated, you see. Jesus said, and that I do nothing of myself. He didn't do anything from his own human nature. Now this is a real key in understanding. Because you see, religions are started, especially Christian religions, when someone takes part of the Word of God and then he thinks he can add to it to improve it. And that is coming from himself rather than from God. That's not from the Spirit of God. No, the Spirit of God is going to lead you to believe the Word of God, to prove all things, to let the Scriptures interpret the Scriptures, let the Word of God tell you what to do, what to believe, what to think, and how your life needs to be oriented in God's ways totally. See? Now continuing on, verse 29, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, because I always do the things that please him. Do you do that? We'll see a little later on that yes, we can do the things that please God. If you love God, if you believe God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you're looking to the hope of the resurrection, if you're ordering your life according to the works of God, can you not please God? Of course you can. That's why Jesus came, to make it possible. And as he spoke these things, many believed in him. Now, verse 30 is a very key verse because it shows people can believe in Jesus to a degree. But do they really believe him totally, absolutely, and to follow him? Now, those who have a religion really don't believe in the true Jesus. They believe in a Jesus much like these Jews who believed in Jesus at that moment. But notice what he said here. Therefore, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if, now there's that big little word, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now mark those two verses, John 8:31 and 32. Do you continue in the word or the message of Jesus Christ? Then you're his disciple. If you don't, you're not his. You may be a Catholic, you may be a Presbyterian, you may be an Episcopalian, you may be an evangelical, you may be a Reformed, you may be a Quaker, but you're not a disciple of Jesus. You have a religion. God the Father and Jesus Christ don't want you to have a religion. They want you to have a way of life, God's way. And they want you to know the truth. And the truth is going to set you free from religion. The truth is going to set you free from your sins. Now, too many people today believe the word freedom means to do anything you desire. No. That's slavery. True freedom is to have the ability to love God and to serve him and keep his word and live by every word of God as Jesus has said. That's the whole reason for church at home, because you can't do this if you go to a church. They're going to teach their doctrines. You're going to believe what they teach. And some places where people go to bring up in churches like that and have religions and to bring up questions, they're told, oh, we don't discuss that here. Oh, you can't bring that up here. See? So what is it in the church that you go to if you go to church? See? So rather than go to a church, church at home brings the church to you. And the church is a collective body of the called out ones, and you begin in your home. And many almost all of the New Testament churches, when they began in the homes. And now we do it today, studying the Word of God. So if you want the Word of God and love the truth of God, you shall be set free. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Calder, until next time, saying, so long, everyone.